TSIA will be hosting our spring conference this May in Orlando. The conference will be heavily focused on how technology companies are operationalizing AI capabilities to improve internal workflows. Based on recent TSIA research, I can tell you there is a gap opening between companies that are aggressively leveraging AI and those that are barely experimenting. I am Thomas Law, the Executive Director of the Technology and Services Industry Association, and welcome to Tectonic, the podcast where we explore what makes technology business models successful in today's world. And today I will be joined by Doug Schmidt from Dell. This is a company that is leaning very hard into AI, and Doug is going to be delivering a keynote about how AI is being operationalized within Dell at the conference. So let me bring Doug in here. Welcome, Doug. And let's start here by you introducing yourself. And what are your current responsibilities at Dell?
Well, hello, Thomas, and thank you for having me talk with you today. First of all, we get the pleasure at Dell of obviously helping our customers on their technology journey. And specifically, the team and I are responsible for global services. This team is around 60,000 folks in over 160 countries, both direct and indirect team members. And we do everything from the consulting to the deployment and installations through the traditional support that a lot of us think service is obviously related to, all the way to our recycling, our security, as well as the managed services. So across the spectrum of the services industry globally, and we get to do that for all the different products that we have, the great products, everything from a desktop notebook all the way to the data center, our storage, server, and networking solutions.
As we're recording this, just this past week, I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal. To me, it's interesting how AI is actually putting wind in the sails of companies like Dell. So I'm assuming that's because of the infrastructure that's going to be required here for companies to deploy, plus the services to be successful. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, yes, obviously you really can't pick up an article anywhere, as you were saying, the Wall Street Journal or anything around where AI isn't being discussed. And that, yes, that's true. We're able to help our customers with the solutions, both in terms of the hardware. You can imagine the servers that you would need, the GPU servers, as well as the storage, all the way to managing the data through the edge. And obviously, a big piece of this, I think we sometimes forget to talk about, is the PC and AI and things like Copilot and what's going to be required for all of us just to do our individual work. And so, yes, helping with that and all the way through the services side. And one of the things we've been very focused on in the service is helping our customers determine not only their potential use cases on the professional service side, but all the way through helping them clean and manage the data to the deployment of the LLMs or the large language models. And we can manage that a la carte or end-to-end form.
Well, the conference in Orlando, I know you're going to cover the ground of some of the AI use cases where you've already had success within Dell, because again, I know you have been aggressively leaning into this for a while, and you're also going to provide perspective on the next generation of AI use cases that you see on the horizon. So I'm going to leave all that for the keynote, but I want to chip around some of these other things because you have been working on this for a while. And as we do use cases, case studies with member companies on this topic, I think people sometimes underestimate being prepared to really leverage AI and what's going to be different. And I want to start just with skill sets, because I know you have an army of data people that you've had for a while and different skill sets. What are some of the skills that you see are different to leverage AI successfully, global enterprise like yourself?
Well, as always, I think, as you stated, Thomas, you and I have talked about this, I think, over the last 3 or 4 years, AI. If you look at the structured data, which is obviously a small piece of the overall data out there, but when by structured, I mean within like a CRM. For a lot of us, we have a CRM or financial system that structured data tables that we're all very used to. We've been leveraging and working on the AI portion of that for actually quite a bit of time now, I would say, but in the services side, specifically about 4 years. Digitizing on processes. This could be everything from literally about 4,000 to 5,000 of the processes are digitized. The reason I use the wide number is we're at 4,000 headed to 5. And so we've been working on that. And what you're trying to do with the AI and leveraging our teams on that is you're trying to find essentially the happy path for the customer and remove the steps that the customers don't value while obviously increasing and improving the steps that do matter to the customers. And then leveraging technology that then allows us to shift the curve, so to speak. And so we've been leveraging AI on that. The teams that have been helping us with that, as you've stated, it's been a journey. You learn. Clearly, data scientist is one of that, but people with data skills, with Python coding capabilities, the ability to leverage process to understand IT systems, data engineers. That was a new one for me 4 years ago when the data scientists joined. They said, where's your data engineers? And I said, you're going to have to expand on that. So you've got to have that clean data. Yeah. The data matters. It's actually the fuel that obviously powers the AI. So if you were saying just in a brief term, I'd say, look, people that have the ability to process and leverage the data, people that can code in Python. And then this process is a big one as well, understanding processes. And I think now that we're moving into the ChatGPT, the unstructured data, what you're going to see is not only the data stewards and the data engineers being highly important, but the Python and the LLM capabilities are going to be obviously very much in desired and needed.
If we click into the process side of it, I know, again, from doing some of these case studies, where I see companies having the most success is they really are very disciplined about zeroing in on a process, a specific process workflow. And they go, okay, let's look at that workflow. Right. Do we understand it? Where could AI help us optimize it? Apply the AI capabilities, measure the improvement on the KPI. But it is a real discipline. I was reading an article where, again, the Wall Street Journal were talking about a company that deployed, I think, the Copilot to all their employees. And they said, yeah, you know, we got everybody a license, but we don't know if there's an ROI or not. And to me, that's not the winning approach with AI. It's not just releasing some capability out into the wild and hoping you're going to get some improvement. It's really zeroing in and marching through specific processes where you think there's going to be a there. And I think what you said, having people that are skilled at process optimization is an important capability for sure.
Yeah, Thomas, look, this is a journey for all of us, quite frankly. So I would tell you, I'm learning just like everybody in the industry. I'm learning a great deal from our customers as well. But what I'm seeing, at least on our journey inside the services space here, is that you're right. The standing up the AI capabilities, Python, the large language models, getting the data obviously into a space where it can be used, and then having that give you great information, allowing you to do the business models differently. But in order to make all that happen, you have to have the process changes to put that all in place across the company or across the divisions that you're working, right? To your point. So you can do all that, but at some point you're going to have to change the model or the way you're doing business. And that's where the process does have to change. That's probably the last piece of the mile that you have to put in place.
I think one thing that people underestimating is the fact that employees, their workflows are going to change. Their workflows are going to change. And I keep telling everybody that your mantra as a tech professional should be, look, I don't know if AI is going to replace my job or not, but clearly AI is going to change the way I'm doing my job. I think none of us, including you and I, are immune to that. I know myself as a researcher, I'm already doing things very differently because of how I use AI to do some of our research. And I think everyone's going to be impacted by this and have to lean into that, right? Lean into the fact that, hey, I'm going to actually operate differently than maybe I've been doing for the last 10, 15, 20 years.
I think that's right. Look, what this is really about is all of our customers. And our customers are, if we have a tool to help our customer experience and make their journey more satisfying, then we're going to use those tools, right? And AI is going to allow us to do that. So it's going to allow us everywhere. By the way, we're already leveraging this with our product teams and our business units, and we're working with them to remove steps that, again, the customers don't value. How do we build better solutions so the customers never have to contact us? And then self-healing, right? Using the telemetry and AI to have self-healing so that it's just easy on our customers. They have a great solution and a great product. And that's obviously a model change in terms of the ability to make all that seamless and integrated and where we're headed. But again, it's if you stay focused on the customer, I believe, can't go wrong.
Yeah, and I think that's good guidance. And to just put a finer point on this, because I know from doing a case study with one of your team members on how you're leveraging AI to make it easier in terms of deploying parts, et cetera, listening to that story, because again, this isn't futures. This isn't like, hey, down the road, this is going to have an impact. These are things that are already deployed within Dell. And to your point, what I'm seeing is AI, that capability, is creating a tighter relationship between the product teams and the support teams, because again, back to the process and the data, and now you want to leverage these tools. If you want to take out friction for the customer with these tools, you really have to be knitted together in a way that, you know, before wasn't as tight with any big company, right? And so I think that that's another benefit of AI, is to really get the bang for the buck. You really do have to knit together these different organizations around the process and the data. And it's super powerful when you do that.
Well, I think what we're seeing, and similar to yourself that I'm reading, and I do see it happening real time, is it really takes the seams out between any places that connect in for a customer experience end to end, right? So that air gap between teams or between processes or between data gets alleviated with AI as you're trying to stitch all that together, and you're seeing the outcome that the customers want, for sure.
Again, our industry, you know, B2B complex systems, there has definitely been some space between, you know, from the selling process into the service process, into the ongoing support, on and on. And again, I don't want to overstate the point here, but AI can really help knit together and close those gaps down. And I'm already seeing that in these use cases. That's not futures. Another thing I just wanted to ask you is, you've been deploying AI, does it change organizational structure in any way? Has it made you sort of rethink that?
Well, it definitely blurs the lines, as we just talked about, because look, what I mean by the blurring of the lines is you become responsible for the customer journey, not just your piece of the customer journey, because you're getting the feedback from the AI and the data to tell you what you have to do as a team to make that process work better for the customer. And so I think what's happening is, comes back to those process. We all have to have that mindset that when we're going into this, we're going to get information, really good information from AI. And it's going to say, if you do these things, you're going to have a better journey for your customers. And now you're spending more time working on that. So absolutely. But look, at the end of the day, you still have to have people physically deploying assets and helping our customers with the solutions. So it remains to be seen how that structure changes over time. But I believe, yes, there will be, obviously, we'll adjust to that as an industry. And obviously, as a team for services, we'll make sure that that runs efficiently.
Yeah. You know, one thing I'm keeping my eye on, I'm just really curious, is these companies that are, I'll call them AI native companies, this next generation of tech companies are just starting right now, looking at their organizational structures, right? Where their employees are deployed between, whether it's sales, marketing, services, product, et cetera. Is that mix different now because, you know, the AI is embedded in everything that they're doing? I think it's going to be. I think maybe for the first time in our careers, we will see a seismic shift in the way that tech companies basically build themselves. But it's going to take, you know, a couple of years to obviously to play out. But I'm looking forward to watching this because I just think the models are going to be a little different. So we'll see how it plays.
Well, look, it's clearly a journey. But again, I think inside of Dell, Michael always mentioned, since I've can remember joining many years ago, that we as a company have big ears listening to our customers. So the telemetry, the big ears, the data coming back is about how we're making their journey and implementing the solutions that they're looking for, making sure that they get the outcomes that they're wanting from the technology and the solutions, and leveraging AI to help them achieve that and to speed that up and to give our internal teams more time to spend on that with and for the customer is what this is really about. I think that's the gold in that. And that, to your point, will that require us to reorganize? I'm not so sure on that. I believe the answer is probably yes. It's not sure what that looks like. But the good thing about this is at all of our levels in the service industry, it should free up time for us to spend more time in front of the customer, helping deliver the value they're looking for. And that's the exciting piece for all of us.
I think when the dust settles on the impact of AI, it's going to make our internal processes more efficient. It's going to take costs out of delivering the solution. And I really do believe it's going to take complexity off of the customer and allow us to really deliver what we've been working to deliver for decades, which is business value, business outcomes. We all want to be focused on that. But as you know, you've been in this long time, a lot of times you can't get to that level if you're down there fixing some of the friction and the complexity. If we can wring that out of the system, it's going to be just such a better experience for these customers in terms of the value they get.
Thomas, and to that point, it was an article a couple of weeks ago. I know we're quoting the Wall Street Journal. I believe it was in the Wall Street Journal on this one, but it was talking about nurses as an example. And one of the reasons they were talking about turnover and talking to the nurses was that they wanted to spend more time in front of the patients, less time. They felt they were becoming more time spending inputting stuff into the computer. And so they obviously, becoming a nurse, they wanted to spend time in front of the patients, helping people, right, get better. Well, I thought about that as in relation to service. The best days I have are in front of customers. Literally, the days go by fast. I'm energized. I want to help them. I want to find ways to bring all the great solutions and technology Dell has to help them achieve their outcome. Personally, that's when I'm the most excited, right? And I know most of us in the service industry are like that. If AI helps us spend more time in front of the customers, I can't imagine that being a bad day.
And just to go down this rabbit trail a little bit in terms of that use case with the nurses, I literally was just talking to somebody who had an experience with their doctor. And they said, you know, you go in and, as you know, doctors, they have these laptops or taking all these notes. And now in this application, the doctor just sat there and had a conversation. Everything was recorded. And then it summarized and did everything that needed to be done. So the doctor just could interface with the patient.
More time in front of the patient, right? And I think that's absolutely right. That is what this article went on exactly to say, was the technology should help us spend more time on the true mission that they have.
One last question I want to ask you here, and that is, because you are customer facing and you're seeing all kinds of customers, describe the difference between customers that you see having success with this next generation of technology versus those that are struggling, because I'm sure you're seeing both. Is there any kind of attributes that strike you that separate those two profiles?
That's a broad field, right? But I think, look, high level, to start with, having the right use cases to pull through. And one of the things we're helping our customers with on the use case selection is the criteria for the use cases. And that includes, are you looking to improve customer satisfaction? Is it an efficiency play? All the way down to the levers that you have internally for your use case. And then a piece of that use case is, how clean or how ready is your data? So that when you're then going to use the use case, and then helping our customers with the data and making sure that's in the form that's going to get them the outcome that they're looking for, all the way through then the development and the assistance on the LLM or the models that they're looking for. But I would say, to start with, choosing the right use cases is a very important first step. And a piece of that use case is, where are you at with your data? Now, again, when you double click that, you know, that obviously leads you to many different things. Like, you can obviously run things in parallel, pick the use cases that we all use, the quadrants, pick those that we can move fast on with those use cases, and let's start building the capabilities for the next ones that may get you a little more in terms of the outcomes you're looking for.
As I listen to you, it reminds me of a conversation I was in, I think a previous podcast, but they were saying that it's a multi-year journey and it's not this big bang approach. It's really what you just said. The winning strategy is to just find the best use cases, the low-hanging fruit, work on that one, move to the next use case, move to the next one. And you're going to be marching through use case after use case. There's a research paper I literally just wrote, it's not out yet, that after doing all these interviews on use cases with members and what's working, we built this framework called the Wheel of Success that sounds very much what you just described. You got to pick your use case. You got to pick the KPIs you're going to move. You got to make sure the data is there. You basically march through that. But then it's like a flywheel. Once you get that going, you're getting better and cleaner data. It's unlocking new use cases. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing.
Got to start somewhere. And I think, as you said, a lot of organizations and companies are starting. And so they're hiring the people. So it's new in that respect. And helping them along that journey is exciting.
It is. And I've had this warning message that I keep issuing on this podcast for both companies and individual professionals. If you're not doing anything on this topic, that is no bueno. I mean, and I have spoken to companies who are like, well, we're kind of waiting for other companies to kind of figure out the AI use cases. And then when that's really super mature, then we'll lean into it. We don't have time right now. We don't have budget right now. There's all these reasons why, right? That it's a manana strategy. And I think that that is a massive mistake, because I think this is going to move quick. I think if you're not doing anything right now, you're going to wake up about 2 or 3 years from now, and your operating model is going to look so dated compared to your competitors and other people out there. I don't think this is something that you can afford to just wait and see.
Well, it's definitely important and definitely a journey. And as you're saying, and it's definitely something that helps our customers. So When you get all three of those together, it's usually a pretty good sign that it's going to be here for a while.
Well, Doug, I really appreciate you stopping in today, and I am looking forward to the keynote in Orlando because, again, I know you guys are very aggressive on this topic, and I've already had a lot of progress. So I think the lessons learned there are going to be appreciated by the audience. And for everybody else, we hope that you make it to Orlando.
Well, Thomas, always good to catch up. Thank you for having me, and look forward to seeing you and everyone else at TSIA in Orlando.
So I always close here with a question of the day, and I'm going to keep asking the same question to our listeners. How many AI use cases have you deployed? For the sake of your career and your company, I hope the answer isn't zero. Cheers, everybody.